At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
I was thinking about when you first came to the group, Eileen, you were a fucking hot mess. And then Nicole, you were pregnant. I don't know if you were so much of a hot mess when you first came in, were you?
I just didn't know anything. I didn't know what I didn't know. Let's put it that way. But I knew that I couldn't tolerate the loneliness anymore. Like, I was praying to God, well, higher power, for help. I had been desperately searching for some kind of community. I didn't even know what that was or what that looked like, but I knew that I couldn't keep doing what I was doing alone.
And then, Eileen, talk about what you were going through when you first joined.
I feel like you came in like a wreck, like you just came in. I feel like you just, the first time you shared, you were just like, it was great.
Yeah. Well, because I had been in AA before and therapy and stuff. So I just could recognize it was a safe space. And I just, like, I had to get it out. I had to just get that shit out of me because there was so much shame around it. And I knew that if I shared that, it would just soften the blow a little bit. But yeah, that was in September. And that whole summer, basically, I moved back home to my hometown in October. And from then on, November, we moved to the new house. And the first month I was back home, we had to live with my parents until the house was ready. And I was just heavily self-medicating with marijuana. And I don't even really remember that month at all. And my daughter wasn't sleeping. You know, she could feel my anxiety. And then it was just progressively getting worse. And like the worst incident was like that November when we moved to the house, just terrifying rage coming out of me in the middle of the night. My daughter would have trouble sleeping and she would wake up at night. And I was, you know, chronically fatigued, exhausted, stressed, depressed, lonely, all of it. And I had raged at her multiple times before, but it was not to that extent. And it was so, so terrifying. And I remember, so after the yelling and the screaming, I just curled up on the floor in a ball, crying and shaking. And she's standing there watching me.
And she's three, right? Was she three then?
Yeah, she was two at the time, two and a half. And I finally had the realization that, like, I can't have her looking at, like, you know, I got to change something quickly. So I went in the shower to try and just get my body a little bit more stable. So that was in November. And then, you know, would just make this promise to myself that I couldn't do that again. I can't do that again. Whatever I do, don't do that again. And it would keep happening. It wasn't to that effect or that high of a rage, intensity. But it was still happening. And then like my anxiety, like, just was through the roof, like, so bad. I remember, like, I would pick her up from school in like the spring and the summertime and just like darting away from her, like trying to get away from her. And like, just, I was smoking cigarettes, like, and trying to hide from her and, like, you know, just trying to alleviate some of the pain and the anxiety. And then, like, going to a swim lesson with her in June, I was, like, in full-on, I didn't know it at the time, emotional flashback. And we go to this swim lesson, and, like, because I don't have another choice. It's just me and her. You know, we have this swim lesson to go to. It's right down the street. And I am, like, shaking and crying. And, like, I have my sunglasses on, but, like, you know, everybody can see, like, something is terribly wrong with me. And so, yeah. And then there was a point like where there was like some hallucinations going on. Like, I was really getting to like a psychotic break. And then in May or June, that's when I started finding YouTube videos on CPTSD and found Patrick Tian and Crappy Childhood Fairy and a lot of the rage and the just, I mean, I was just a boiling pot. It was so hard. But what I started doing was when I would get enraged, I would take a notebook and just write down everything that I was feeling. And it was totally my inner child and my inner teenager coming out. I'm so alone. There's no one here to help me. You know, all those feelings from me being a kid of feeling so alone. And it's funny. It's kind of the same thing as Nicole. I remember it one of those times, I'm so alone. I need friends, but I'm too afraid to make friends. And like, I just need help. And I just need to find people that can help me. I can't afford therapy. Like, please help. And then that's when I found the shit show community like a couple weeks later. So yeah, so that's where I was at. And in between those times, there was really good times with my daughter too. There were times when I could be present, but I felt like I was wearing like 100-pound suit of just shame.
Mm-hmm. And pain.
Guilt and pain and depression and loneliness.
Anger.
And it was so heavy. It was just so heavy. And, you know, so much of that weight has been lifted since September, since I joined.
I mean, just listening to you is so moving because of how deeply I hear myself in your story and your bravery and yours. You know, I just feel like you sugarcoat it, right? You're just telling it how it is. And that's what I need other moms, and I needed other moms in my life to just straight talk the hell that they were saying. So that really got me. Story is a little bit different because I was pregnant with baby number 4 when mm-hmm. I found the podcast. And when I think back over those 4 pregnancies and the outcomes of the birth, the temperament of the child, the, you know, 4th trimester, when I found my entire pregnancy, and I think that my 4th child is my easiest because I finally had support. Mm-hmm. I think that he got the benefit of the most regulated nervous system out of all 4. And he is much more happy-go-lucky. I'll start with my first. So my husband, for 6 months when we got pregnant, it was kind of a shock, but it was a welcome pregnancy. All excited and looking forward to the birth of this baby. We both were. When he came, no idea to care for him. I would pace the house up and down, because my anxiety was so high and I had all of these visceral reactions towards the baby crying that I couldn't understand. I was terrified of my husband responding. I mean, then fiance or boyfriend or whatever. Anytime he would try to help with the baby, I would fly into a rage. I was no idea like what was real, what was right, what was wrong. I was afraid to change him. I didn't know if I was touching him appropriately. I didn't know my husband was safe. My instincts told me, get him the fuck away from the baby. Anytime that child cried, you are the only one that can keep him safe. Mm-hmm. And I got into a nightmare. I was like a tiger in a cage, pacing and pacing. And the baby was colicky. He was full of all of my stress hormones throughout the pregnancy. I was an unrealized ACA. I had no therapy up until this point, no recovery up in, I had nothing. And my baby expressed it all. This was what brought me to the therapist that I have had years now. I came to him pleading, because my husband would try to help and I would scream at him and I would throw dishes at his head and I would attack him until he would leave. Like, the fact that we're still together is a goddamn miracle.
And that he's alive.
Like, yeah. He used to joke that he needed a padded room to lock himself in, because I was fucking violent and I didn't know that there was anything wrong with it. He was always the asshole. And I was always the victim. when the baby was 6 months old, the first child, we got pregnant again. This was the one that really sent me downhill quickly. So I was starting to really, like, things were coming up somatically for me, but I didn't have the understanding. Second baby comes along, my physical health starts deteriorating. I don't know what's wrong. My depression was so severe that the gun safe that my husband has, I told him, you need to change.
Wow.
Because I don't trust myself and do it now. And so, like, all of these physical symptoms started happening. I was in a whirlwind, and we started to get those addressed, but it was slow. And I was terrified to talk to a physician or a provider about what was really going on.
Yeah.
How do I say to my OB or physician, look, like, I'm having homicidal and suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
I cannot touch my children right now when they are dysregulated, because the dysregulation that erupts in me is out of control. And I would go black and I couldn't remember what happened. And I would be just blind with emotion. Fast forward to then we get pregnant with baby number three. And this was during COVID. I feel like shit really hit the fan, because I went back to school full time, had these two toddlers at home. My husband was working two jobs full time. I had no support and I was isolated. Mm. And this was when something had happened. I had gotten home from the store. We were bringing in groceries into the kitchen, and there was a bag of cherries, and the cherries dropped, and the boys ran through them and ran all over the house with cherry juice on their feet. And I lost it. I called my husband and I said, you need to come home, because I am not safe to be around our kids. It's so painful to think about now. I didn't know that I needed help. I was just repeating what had been done to me. And so talking about this stuff is so important, because I feel like mothers that are out there that are walking that line between, like, am I going to kill myself or my kid? And this is when, you know, I just kind of broke. And I kept apologizing, right? Kept trying to repair, but I felt like you are the abuser now. Because this is the cycle that you lived through of being hit. There was never any repair at my home, in my childhood home, ever. Never any acknowledgement of the situation. You would get hit, be stonewalled. There was never a discussion afterwards or an apology. Mm-hmm. I had also been in an abusive relationship in my 20s. And it was like, I was like, you're an abuser now. This is who you are. And that's when I reached out for Janet. I found Janet's work and I just started devouring the podcast and reading her books. But I was also at a standstill with it, because I was having these overreactions in my body that I couldn't stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I kept going to my therapist saying, like, this is what happened and this is what out match. It doesn't make sense. What's going on here? Help me. I was so scared of myself and so ashamed. Like, it's terrifying saying these things out loud. To know that, like, that is inside you. I think that was really my mothering bottom. And when I had the third baby, then I told my OB, I'm having a really difficult time with depression and anxiety. You know, can you help me? Can we try and make a plan? And he had no tools. No tools or resources. It wasn't until between the third and the fourth baby that I started getting memories of childhood sexual abuse. It took that long. And the baby's doctor was the first doctor that I told about the abuse. I said, look, I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, and I've been having memories emerge. And I need you to know about this, because I'm so terrified to be here and for you to touch me. And to talk about this. And he was this old man, okay? Everybody was like, go to the new young midwife, go to this doctor, go see them. But it was this oldest doctor in the clinic.
In the land.
In the land.
That ever lived.
But he was there for me. So
I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful that I'm not a walking, ticking time bomb.
The truth of the matter, my dear shit shows, is that there is a huge overlap in those of us who grew up in a dysfunctional family and those of us who are suffering from ADHD. I myself got diagnosed with ADHD about a year ago, and getting this diagnosis and treating this diagnosis has made such a difference in my productivity and getting shit done. Now, let me tell you about Done. Done is an online ADHD care platform where you can get all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, one-click refills, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Visit get.donefirst.com/podcast to learn more. Again, that is get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn ADHD into your strength.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
I'm curious, from today in the beginning of the episode, I talked about the inner parent-child grief and the age regression.
I'm curious if, like, what sort of insights you've had as far as, and I think a lot of it is, like, as you guys have both shared, is, you know, when the kids have big emotions. But has there been anything else you guys have noticed as far as what is triggering to you? Anything that you haven't already said or shared?
Yeah. When my daughter is disagreeable with me or, like, has a voice of her own, which is amazing. But, like, she, I don't want to say talks back because that has, like, a negative connotation. But if she doesn't want to do something, you know, and she's her own person and she doesn't have to. It's if it's not in regards to her safety or, you know, like that kind of thing, that really just is this visceral feeling in my stomach and everything tightens in my body. That I have noticed is a big thing with me, where if she doesn't want to go along with what I want her to do or what needs to be done, because that in my house, that just wasn't allowed. And frustration too. If she gets frustrated trying to do something, and I've gotten a little bit better at it, but like if she's just building something and she gets frustrated, I either want to go in and like fix it for her, or I get that visceral response, like where I feel that frustration. And it's like not a normal frustration. It's this overwhelming feeling. And I think a lot of that comes from, like, my dad was easily frustrated. Like there was just no frustration threshold there at all. But those are a couple things that I've noticed.
Yeah, like letting my kids feel their feelings, letting them just like let it out.
You've gotten so good at that.
Let it out, baby. Yeah, like there's a kid at my door right now whining and crying and wanting mom, but I'm in here for now. I've also been like, times when they're letting out their feelings, I'll still struggle with like taking it personally. Like, oh, this is because something to do with me. And it's like, this has nothing to do with you. This isn't your responsibility to make this better or to step in. Like, really just learning how to be a benevolent witness, you know? And another one for me is like, I noticed this when we were on our ski trip. My kids, when they're learning something new, they go into collapse because it's hard. Initial reaction is that is unacceptable.
Yeah.
You will perform. You will show up. You will be normal. So look good, right? That was my childhood.
Normal.
Right. I've also noticed it too in certain public situations, right? Like if my kids say we're at a ball game and like you don't know where to sit, right? And you kind of have to walk in front of a big crowd and my kid is hesitating. That like that showing signs of hesitation or insecurity or weakness. I'm just like, come on, you got a power. Like,
yeah.
It's been a real huge for me to learn is softening, caring, patient. Like, these were things that I never experienced growing up. And it's only been through this process that I'm like, wow, these are really beautiful things that it's okay to share with my child. But I've really had to struggle through, you know, sometimes when my kids are starting a new thing, like swimming lessons or, you know, skiing or whatever wrestling. It is, you know, wrestling. And they don't want to do it. And they just like go into collapse, right? Like just lay there, let them be. I absolutely was not allowed to do that. I remember running away one time when I was like, it's been between the ages of 8 and 10 because there was a bunch of work that needed to be done. There was a bunch of fence that needed to be fixed. I mean, I just remember working from the time I was like 6 years old. Like, you'd get put into the tractor bucket and drive around and load rocks and fix fence. And there was none of this, like, you get to choose and then get to have your feeling. It was like, get the fuck to work, you know? Learning how to reckon with those feelings and be like, yeah, well, Nicole, you didn't exactly have a childhood, did you? The grief that comes with that, right? The grief of like those lost childhood experiences.
Yeah. And the anger. Yeah. I can let my daughter be angry up to a certain point, and then it's just like, okay, I don't want you to be angry anymore, you know? And it's like, those are her feelings to have. And like, I was never allowed to be angry ever. Didn't even know that was an emotion that you could have. I think the wrong emotion to have up until a few years ago. So like, that was something I was really conscious going into, was, you know, letting her have those feelings. But if it's at a certain point, it starts to make me feel uncomfortable. Then I think that I'm doing something wrong, because those feelings haven't passed for her yet. So then it's on me. And it's like you said, it has nothing to do with me. Yeah. And I will get in these enmeshed situations with her where I just, her, whatever her behavior action is. Yes. Sometimes it is because of my parenting, maybe, where I'm falling short. But like, a lot of times it's not. And like, it's so hard for me to distinguish, because so much of the normal child development wasn't allowed in my household. So like, I think what she's doing is wrong, but like, really, it's just normal child development. And it's such a confusing area a lot of the time. And then I am always pointing the finger back at myself. Well, oh, it's because of me. I did something wrong. That's why she's struggling. And it's like, most of the time, that's not the case.
Do you guys want to each share some wins?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, man. I was thinking about this as I was driving. Just like having a pause button now between what I'm feeling and how I am responding. Just having that pause to notice what comes up. Before, it was just feelings fire. And that has truly been a gift. I feel like I'm able to create so much. My tolerance has gone up so much for just normal childhood behavior. I can't learn enough, right? It's just like, whatever I'm either reading or listening or watching, everything I can about recovery and childhood development and developmental trauma and how our nervous system is affected. And it's just like, with all of this input, this new input coming back, it's like my feedback, my sensory system has really been rewiring, because I have a safe place to talk about this shit now. You know, it's like when I'm going through it, like, I was so exhausted on Sunday and I came to group and I was just like able to share in real time what a struggle it was, how much I was struggling in the moment, and not just to the toxic shame of how terrible of a mother I am and as a failure I am as a human being. And through this like journey, I'm also experiencing I feel like the Grinch. My heart has grown 10 time. My tolerance for love, too, with my boys. And, like, a lot of times after school is a really hectic time at our house. The kids are tired. They're hungry. They want mom's attention. Dad isn't necessarily built for it as well. And I'm able to, like, drop the teacher hat and just be, like, present, witness to whatever they're feeling, and say things to them like, hey, it seems like you're having a really hard time here. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That sounds like that was really hard. Gosh, I feel that way a lot too. And I went through this with my son yesterday, something hard that he was going through. But really feeling like this, like, bursting of love towards them that I don't really remember feeling in the beginning, because I was so cut off and disconnected from myself.
Yep.
You know, and as I've thawed and started to share, and like this glacier has started to crack and move, right? Then the water is moving and the ice is moving, and it's like, oh my God, my relationship with my boys has just become so much sweeter, you know, where they're all of these unexpected hugs, and my 3-year-old like blows me a kiss as he just to go downstairs. Hey, bye, mom. Go downstairs to watch a show. I think that they really know now that they can trust me in a way they couldn't before. And I tell them too, like, gosh, when we were skiing and they were falling down on the mountain and like, I will not do this. I was starting to feel that resentment really in me of like, you don't get to quit. You don't get to have a meltdown on the mountain. Get your ass up and you figure it out. Just this hard ass mentality. And it's just like down. And I took a breather and I came back and I said, man, you guys, I really blew it. I totally blew it as your mom. I am so sorry. I didn't even know how bad I was going to blow that.
But yeah, you totally blew that.
It's an honor, really, to be able to just sort of like accompany them on in this and like feel that extension of their love and ability to just move forward with life, you know?
Bravo.
I just wanted to comment earlier on what you said, Nicole, about that when you were always apologizing in like that abuser cycle. I went through that exact same thing. I was saying sorry every day for these outbursts. And I'm like, what am I doing? This is so damaging. I've turned into an abuser. This is an abuser cycle. And I actually bought a book. It was in the summertime. I bought a book and I read it to my daughter because she was so afraid of me, and she was, her behavior was so erratic. She would run away from me and hide in a corner, and I would chase after her in like this really scary way, you know, and like say, get over here and come eat your dinner. And as I'm doing this, I'm thinking, what is going on here? Like, you know, just so out of control of my body. But I found this book on Amazon because I was so at a loss. I couldn't send her to therapy. I couldn't go to therapy. I just couldn't afford it at the time. And I'm like, I need help. So I found a book on Amazon. It was for therapists to read to kids. And it's like, when a grown-up you love hurts you. And it was like it was for physical abuse. And so like I changed some of the wording. But like I read that shit to her. And as I read it to her, and I'm like, I didn't even know. I'm like, is this messed up that I'm the abuser and I'm reading it to her? It was just such a messed up situation, but it did help. And I only read it to her twice, and then I returned it to Amazon. But that first time I read it to her, I saw all the tension in her body leave. And I mean, that's where I feel like I just, the effort that I have put in and the way that I have tried to repair, you know, it hasn't gone unnoticed by her. And like, I know that she can see the changes and the growth. And like, I would tell her in those times, like, I'm so sorry. I'm sick. My heart is sick. And sometimes when you're so sad in your heart, it makes you really angry. And I told her I was going to a doctor to get better and like all of that. So the trust between us has really grown lately. And I can see that she just feels so much safer around me now. And the other thing that I really like doing with her, and like that's a win, is playing with her. I don't always like to play, but there's some days I can't get in that present moment. But if something is bothering her and I can't figure out what it is, I will play with her and it will come out through her play on what the issue is. So that's been a big game changer for me, is learning that through play. That's how children can express their fears, their excitements, all of that. So that's been a really big win for me. And lately too, a big win for me is just expressing those quote unquote negative emotions in a healthy way around her. Mm-hmm. So she's at home with me on Fridays, and on Fridays I work from home and I have her home from preschool. And we usually go to my parents, but they weren't able to watch her. So this was last Friday, and the phone, like my phone at work usually rings a couple times a day. It rang like 12 or 15 times. It was just a really crazy, hectic day. I couldn't pay attention to her, and like it just wasn't going well. And I'm like, ugh, I'm getting really frustrated. I'm angry. I need to take a break. And I've recently discovered that heavy metal music is, I'm really digging that for my anger. And I found this like heavy metal song that's like not scary. It's like a child-friendly heavy metal song. And I put it on, and me and her, we listened to it twice. We were headbanging. We were rocking out, stomping our feet. And like afterwards, I just like, my heart, like you said, it was like my heart felt so expanded. And I was like, this is what it's all about. Like expressing these feelings in a healthy way and showing my daughter that there is a healthy way to express anger. Mm-hmm. It's just, that was just like a really beautiful moment for me. And I felt like after that, I was able to get back to work. I was able to be present with her, and that was just really beautiful. And yeah, a couple other wins I think are through play. She really was having troubles falling asleep at night, and it was anxiety. I mean, I would rock her and she would be kicking her legs like she was swimming in a pool. She couldn't calm her body down. And she was so agitated at nighttime. And I mean, rightfully so, that's when all my rage would come out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we started doing a lot of like healthy aggression play where she was a lion and she would attack me, and I was Scar and she was Simba, and we were, you know, just going at it in like battle in like a healthy, playful way. And we did that for about 2 months straight. That's all she wanted to do. And then after that leg shaking stopped. And that leg shaking was a flight response, a fight or flight response. That was her wanting to get out of that situation. And so for her to be able to act it out through play, it took care of it. It healed whatever that was. So, and then just one last thing, just a little bragging thing. We were at a birthday party and somebody was like, "Is that your daughter?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Oh my God, she's so beautiful." She's like, "She is so expressive in her emotions, the joy, the laughter." She's like, "She fully expresses her emotions." And I was just like, I just was like, there's no words to describe that she can fully express her emotions, good and bad, with me and feel safe to do that.
I never heard that one. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I love that person was able to say that to you too, mm-hmm. you know, and acknowledge that and like see that as a win.
Yeah. And it was like an older lady too. And I thought that she was just going to say, "Oh, she's so cute," you know, but she was like, "She is so expressive and fully expresses all of her emotions." And I was just like, all right, well, I'm doing something right.
Any words of wisdom to leave people with?
It does get better.
Yeah. And don't give up.
Yeah. Don't give up. And all parents make mistakes, even the good ones. Mm-hmm. And a lot of change can happen in a short amount of time.
And you don't have to do it alone.
Nope. Join the shit show.
Well, you guys are so brave. So brave. Thank you for being so honest and vulnerable. I know that so many people are going to be able to relate to every single fucking thing that was said. So your kids are so lucky to call you mom. Well,
ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.